All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and then we compact it all and we bring it to you in under an hour's time. And of course, it's all completely for free. So we hope all of you are stoked to be here. We hope all of you are ready. There's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot that's happened since we last got to meet on Tuesday, and certainly a lot to unpack. And so we want to make sure that all of you are in the loop. You know what's happening with all the again, just all the different news articles and stuff that we've seen. We've had some big TradFi changes when it comes to the Federal Reserve, and we're going to just run through all of that. So to give you all a bit of a glimpse of what we're going to be looking at here today, we are preparing to enter into what is typically the best or one of the best months for crypto, and that's going to be October. We got some really interesting statistics that kind of show what the end of November looks like, what the beginning and most of October looks like, and I think we really are preparing for something massive. Now, we have some funny clips. We were bringing Gary Gensler back, someone who we haven't talked about in almost a year over here. But it's funny because he got brought back on the CNBC. Now, Gary, what do you think about what's going on? And he had some choice opinions. They end up just destroying him on the panel. I mean, it's no holds barred. They just kind of destroy him on the panel. I'm surprised he stuck around through it. But then, of course, we have all sorts of fundamental news, adoption, Coinbase is rolling out new features. Tom Lee's teaming up with Michael Saylor. We're having huge progress made over in Washington, D.C., in the name of crypto, and all sorts of new information coming out around these new funds and ETFs and altcoin season as a whole. So we're ready to unpack it all. But of course, I can't do this alone. I got to do it with my good old buddy and co-host here, Mr. Tivo.
What is going on, Brendan? Happy Friday. Super fired up to be here. It's been a fun week. And you're being a little too modest, my friend. Today is the super technical analysis episode. We're going to let you run a little long with your expertise. We're going to pull up the charts. We're going to dive in. So just to everybody who's listening in, we've got Ed from Central Florida. Fitz is here. A couple more people are filing in. If you're here, let us know where you're from, especially if you're new. Give us a like and subscribe, but we're going to be doing some technical analysis with Brendan. So we'll definitely have a Q&A session, maybe at the end of his session. Mm-hmm. And then if we have time at the end, we could do even more questions. So we want to be really interactive and engaged with everybody today. But tons of topics, and we get to pick up kind of right where we left off. Brian and I did a impromptu Fed live stream on Wednesday, and it was super fun. We didn't really promote it too much. We just wanted to test it out, but we had a lot of the regulars in there. It was really interactive, really fun, and the Fed did kind of exactly what we thought, which I think is good, and I want to get your opinion, but just to kind of recap for those who don't know, the Fed cut 25 basis points. It was pretty much consensus. The best part about it, I think, in my mind, was the Board of Governors, the Fed governors. It was pretty big majority. There weren't many dissents. Everybody was basically on board. So that gave the market a lot of confidence moving forward. But what we did say, and we nailed this, Brendan, we nailed this live. We did say live was it'll be interesting to watch the bond market because, again, everybody's like, oh, we're going to cut rates. We're going to cut rates. And then the mortgages are going to fly down. And that's not necessarily the case. The bond market, especially the long end of the curve, doesn't always go lockstep with the Fed cutting rates. And we're kind of seeing that today. So the long end of the curve, since they've cut, is actually creeping up. Mortgage rates are now 6.26% on the 30-year, whereas they were just 6.10 to begin the week. So a little bit of some bond vigilante action, which is something to definitely keep an eye on. But my final point here, Brendan, we were wrapping up the show, and we were signing off just as the closing bell was happening, 4 p.m. on Wednesday. And the markets were based, everything was flat. The Dow was up just a smidge. The S&P and the NASDAQ were actually in the red. But surprisingly enough, the small caps was up 0.5%. IWM was up. And me and you have talked about this before, how I kind of look at IWM and the small caps as like the TradFi counterpart to almost like Ethereum a little bit for me, for my notch. So I was kind of looking at that, and I told Brian, I was like, if this holds at 0.5% on the green, I think this is a green light. The market's kind of giving you a little signal, like an offside signal, that I think the market likes this, and tomorrow's going to be big, and Friday's going to, you know, continue the momentum, and that's exactly what happened. So TradFi seems to like it. Again, it's a clearing event. Now that's in the past, and we kind of got to focus for the next round of data and the next round of Fed meetings. But what was your big takeaway from it?
Yeah, I mean, my big takeaway was we got a ton of clarity about the future. And that's what I was looking for is how do they feel right now and what is their thoughts moving into the future? Because as we all know, whether you like it or not, I mean, the Fed affects the crypto market and whether they're cutting or hiking. Traditionally, or rather historically speaking, cutting is good for the prices of crypto and hiking the rates going up is a bad thing. And so we got on the meeting and he said a couple of interesting things. Number one, 50 basis point cuts are pretty much out the window. He basically said they have PTSD from 50 basis point cuts and hikes during 2020 to like 2022, when they had like the fastest cuts and then the fastest hikes in history. He basically ruled that off the table and said, so long as I'm here, that's not going to happen. The other thing that we got, though, is it does look like it's very likely that we get at least maybe one to two more cuts this year. We have a meeting at the end of October. We have a meeting in the middle of December. And it looks as if right now the odds are over 60% for both of those. And it's really high for October. I think it's like 65 to almost 70%. And so it looks like we're going to be getting more cuts, which again is a good thing for the crypto markets. So ruling out this idea of like a really big 50 or 75 basis point cut, but it does kind of confirm that they're very much open to the idea of multiple 25 basis point cuts. So I think as the crypto market, we got to be excited about that. We got to be looking forward to that. And crypto's holding together quite well. I know that what we've seen here lately is like on the TradFi side, basically all the indices hitting new all-time highs. You have gold also hitting new all-time highs. I think that Bitcoin and crypto is the next logical thing to have a move to the upside. And that's really where I'm focused on next, is saying, hey, we're seeing this on the TradFi, we're seeing it in the metals, we're seeing it in all these different assets. And I think crypto is just the next logical asset to kind of get this bump. We have the rate cuts, which are good for crypto. We have risk on assets moving up. We have the metals market moving up. You have the M2 money supply moving up, and it just feels like crypto should be the next kind of logical step of like which assets should start getting attention next.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're going to transition us. Some might call it the number one strategy for going into continuing the bull market into the end of the year. It's technical analysis. You are our guru. Brendan, bring up the charts. Let's dive in.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a look at this because we're getting a really interesting play out from Bitcoin over here where we've kind of had this major trend line, right? If we zoom out all the way to what we've seen, I mean, this is a significant high point. And Bitcoin goes through these cycles, as you can see, where it kind of rallies off the lows, moves up, chops sideways for a bit. Then it rallies up, chops sideways for a bit, rallies to new highs, chops sideways for a bit, rallies to new highs. And we're just kind of at the breakout point. And anybody who follows me closely, you know I have one of my favorite patterns, which is the break, hook, and go. And that's really what I believe we're seeing here right now. So if we're looking at this prior high, we had this very clear level of resistance where we came up here and we rejected and we rejected and we rejected. But eventually we kind of broke out through this. And that's what we saw right here is the break through this resistance level. And as we came back down inside of this, this is where we really started to see Bitcoin find a lot of support around this area. So we kind of cleared this $110,000 level as a prior resistance zone. Now we're retracing back down into it as a support zone. And we're already seeing that it's very clearly finding a lot of people who are eager to buy here. So this would represent what the break, the hook, and what ideally is like the next step, which is the go, which is what we should see moving forward from here. So now I'm going to start zooming us in, right? We're really zoomed out here looking at the big picture of how we're still very much in an uptrend and the market looks good. But now if we zoom in, you know, we had a very clear like short-term micro downtrend of lower lows and lower highs. Well, that's been invalidated. The market has resumed to higher highs and higher lows over in here. And that's a good sign to see. We're also see Bitcoin bounce off this area, which is the AVWAP off of the lows, might I add. Again, another very significant level. The AVWAP stands for the Anchored Volume Weighted Average Price. And in technical analysis, we like to plot these in significant levels of like any kind of significant low or significant high. And that's what we did over here in April, say, hey, if we look at the bottom of the trade war lows and we plot an anchored VWAP from down there, well, we get this little orange line. And we can see that as the market rallied and then pulled back, this is where we bottomed. Then we rallied higher and then we pulled back to this and we bottomed again over here. Again, I think that a lot of this is just pointing us in the same direction, which is that the market wants to push higher to new highs. And I think when we look at the larger kind of just structure that's going on, this looks like it is the consolidation area before the next move, where the bulls are just collecting strength. So we have the AVWAP bounce for the second time. We have the break, hook, and go. We have the break in short-term structure. We also have the break of the 20 and 50-day moving averages as Bitcoin is moving higher. And you see this hooking very well. So this red line or this pink line is very clearly being used as support here, Tebow. And this is what we're seeing as kind of, again, more confirmation. We're using these prior moving averages as support. We broke below them. They were at resistance for a little bit. But prior to us kind of breaking below them, we know it was being used to support here. We know it was being used to support over here. Now we're back above them and we're being used to support. And what happened in both of these other instances? We broke above, we tested it as support, we hit new highs. We broke above, we tested this as support, and we hit higher highs after that. And I think that this is kind of the direction that we go. And I'm not ruling out this idea that we can't have any downside. I think that's silly. There's certainly a little pocket or a window that Bitcoin could theoretically come back into. But again, we're zooming out. We're looking at the bigger picture. And I think that the evidence just points that Bitcoin will continue to see higher lows into more upside appreciation. And I think it's pretty hard to make a bearish argument here against that, at least from what I see. And as we'll look in on the fear and greed index in a little bit, Bitcoin isn't in this overbought situation. It's not in a territory of extreme greed or anything like that. In fact, we've been closer to fear than we have to greed. And we're seeing similar stuff from the indicators, just saying we're not overextended, we're not overbought, we're not in this greedy territory. And I think that's a good sign because that means that we have plenty of room to move up before we're even in that overbought or greedy territory. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic about where Bitcoin is at right here today. And I think you have a lot of solid evidence to kind of back this up. And I think when we, I'll pass this off in a second, Tebow, but
yeah,
one final point that I wanted to talk about is I think that the market has further to go. And I think that this will be an extended market cycle because you can look at three different charts, Bitcoin dominance, the total two, and the others charts. And you can see where we're at in stages of the market cycle. And all the data is saying that so far, this has been a more extended market cycle. Now, we're still following the same structure, right? Where every 4 years in correlation to the halving, we have Bitcoin rally up really ever since altcoin season was created back in 2017. Bitcoin dominance rallies up to 70%, falls to 40%. This was a really fast altcoin season. The next one, a little bit longer, you can see. Longer altcoin season, but still 4 years later, 2021, we hit around 70% and then we fall. And then here we are in the next one, even longer than the one before that, but it still fits the same theme. Not as kind of erratic in a sense. And we come around 70% and we started falling. The difference here is that you look at this and we're nowhere near the bottom end of this, which is anywhere below or around 40%. And so I really do believe that we're at stage one, we're really moving from stage one to two. Stage one is Bitcoin moves first. It's the largest, it's the king of crypto, it's what we see. And I think that Bitcoin moves first. And the analogy that I always like to give here is like an inverse pyramid or a funnel where it's largest up top and then it gets smaller as you kind of trickle down, right? And so I think the crypto markets in these cycles work the same way. You start with the largest first being Bitcoin, then you go large caps, then you go mid caps and so on and so forth, and it kind of trickles down. And so what we're seeing is a very clear drop in Bitcoin dominance from this critical level. And so then I think the next logical question that people are asking is, well, Brendan, I don't feel like my altcoins are rallying. And the answer there is not all altcoins are, but there's a certain group of them that are. And so when you look at the top 10 or so cryptos by market cap, that's where we're seeing a lot of the appreciation. And we can tell this by looking at a chart, and I'm going to throw on watermarks here so everyone can see what I'm looking at. But if we look at this chart called the Total 2, it's saying, hey, what is crypto's market cap excluding Bitcoin? So this is saying the entirety of the altcoin market. And here we can see we've come up to this area and rejected, and we've come up to this area and rejected. And now we're pushing up to this area again around this idea of all-time highs. In fact, we tapped a new all-time high here. And so we're saying, okay, well, the Total 2, which is the representation of the altcoin market, is at all-time highs. Well, what about the rest of the altcoin market, right? So now we can narrow that search and say, instead of looking at the entire crypto market cap excluding Bitcoin, we can look at the entire crypto market cap excluding the top 10 altcoins. And then this is where we start to get some interesting data points because the Total 2 doesn't look like this. The Total 2 is hitting new highs. The others chart, which is excluding the top 10, is nowhere near it. And this needs about another 50% move to get back to all-time highs. So now we see the disparity here. We see the disparity where altcoins are, like anything below the top 10, are not rallying nearly as well as Bitcoin, and they're not rallying nearly as well as the leading altcoins. And we can look at those charts. I mean, let's look at a handful of these top 10s real fast, TiVo. We can see Ethereum up here. It hit a new all-time high. It tapped the highs, and you know, relatively speaking, we look at this chart and this thing's pressing up into the highs. Solana, similar story, rallying very hard. We can go and we can look at BNB, hitting new highs. We can go and we can look at Tron, rallying towards the highs. Hyperliquid's number 11 by market cap, so right outside the top 10, but we see the same picture. And so a lot of these large market cap crypto projects are all consolidating at the highs, and it's not until you start looking at the more mid caps, anything kind of outside the top 10, and we're just not seeing the same story. You know, we can look at quality projects that are doing good. You know, Ondo, you could look at, I don't know, even let's look at like ENS. You could look over here at Sierra, which has had a good run. You could look at meme coins like Fartcoin or Hedera, which is, again, nowhere near the highs. You could look at Chainlink, which is, again, not at the highs. And these are still larger market caps, but a little bit more getting into that mid-market cap territory. So I say all this, I know it was a big rant, but it kind of paints the picture of where we're at in the market cycle right now. And just because your favorite coin isn't running doesn't necessarily mean that the market's not doing good or that it's not healthy. And I know there's a lot to unpack there, so I want to hand it off. But I'm excited because if we look at this, TiVo, you know, and we look at Bitcoin dominance, I mean, this is saying, hey, there should be a lot of time left in this market. And I think the only way we have a lot of time left is if the market extends a little bit longer than normal. And that's not anything out of the ordinary because we've seen these cycles getting longer and longer and longer every single time they happen.
It's all great information, and again, a lot to digest, and thank you for doing it. We're going to keep the charts up, everybody. If you, I collected a bunch of tickers that people threw in. If you want Brendan to do a specific ticker, throw it in the chat. I'm going to get it. Number one, we really appreciate everybody being here this afternoon, spending your Friday afternoon with us. If you're here and enjoying it, give the video a like, hit that thumbs up. It really helps us push the video and help the channel grow. If you're new here, bottom right, subscribe. And then again, if this type of content that you're doing with Brendan is something that you're really enjoying, he is doing a six-week course. We talk about it sometimes from time to time that he has a six-week course and you get, you know, 6 weeks of content of learning technical analysis with him, and you get two live streams, 1 hour each per week, which is basically this with him. I have a link in the description below. If it's something that you're interested in getting this type of content and getting into the education process of becoming a technical analysis guru like Brendan is, check that link below and you get tons more access of learning it. Again, the 6 week course, and then again, two live streams, 1 hour each per week with Brendan, doing exactly this. But we want to keep the fun going. We have some tickers, Brendan. The first one was Solana. I know you brought it up, but maybe bring back Sol for us. And we definitely need to see the Solana ad. I see it down there in the bottom left. One of the amazing bottom calls of the Crypto 101 podcast industry, or history. Sorry, it's up there. It's in the Hall of Fame when that Solana ad came out, that awful, awful ad. We just said we had to mark it. This feels like a bottom. But specifically for, I think it was Mrs. C. Lee. I can't remember exactly who asked that one. But Solana, like any deeper thoughts on that? It looks like it's doing a nice little breakout there. That's it's a sexy looking long-term chart.
It is, man. I mean, you look at this thing since that point back in April. I mean, it's up 151% as a large cap, which is a great thing to see. And I mean, if we zoom in on this, what we have is just a clear ascending triangle. And again, I think Mrs. C. Lee is someone who's actually gone through the program. I know Ed's someone who's gone through the program. A couple of other folks have actually gone through it. And so you all are going to know. You know me best. I love, basically two things are my favorites. Break, hook, and goes, and ascending triangles. Two of my favorite things to play. And we've seen a lot of ascending triangles here lately, but I mean, some of the most notable ones have been on Solana and Hyperliquid. You know, on Solana over here, we kind of saw this rally through the 200-day moving average. We hit this high point of 2.5 to 2.10, then we came down. Then we rallied back up to the same point, then a higher low. then back up, higher low, back up, higher low, back up, higher low. And you see pressure squeezing in here as the higher lows are coming in, but there's this flat level of resistance. And so this range is getting narrower and narrower as we're squeezing up. And then you just see this unwinding of pressure to the upside as, you know, the bulls are essentially gaining ground here, right? Because every time it pulls back, the bulls are coming higher than before and then higher than before and then higher than before. And the bears are weakening. And you can tell that because price is not able to move down. Every time resistance is staying the same. So the bears are not getting stronger, but the bulls are gaining ground. And so pressure is building and building and building to the upside until pressure builds up too much and it explodes. And that's what we've seen here with Solana, is kind of just a jetpack up to over $250. And we look at this as a pretty historically big resistance point. Because if we go back to $260, TiVo, I mean, we look at this and we can kind of zoom in and say, hey, we've tapped this area around $250 and we struggled. So this is $250 right here. You know, we struggled after getting up here around 250, 260. So we hit 250, big rejection. We were unable to close above 260. Then we go all the way over here to the next run and we can see again, we came up to around 250. And we rejected. We were unable to close above 260. Same thing over here. We came up. We got a little bit higher this time. 250 is right around here. Well, we were able to pierce through this higher, but again, unable to close with any kind of strength above $260. And so I'd say, hey, the bulk of our candle body closings are around 250. The wicks go up around to 260 something. We're unable to close above the zone three separate times. I believe this was over the course of three different years. Yeah, 2020, 2021, 2024, and 2025. And so now we're coming back up to the zone again, and I was looking at this saying, hey, we know that there's been some big resistance up here. We know that we've seen some pretty gnarly rejections. And so that's why the top area of my resistance is around 250 to 260 over here. Now, the good news is that if Solana can convincingly break through that zone, it will have done something that it's never done in history. And it essentially goes into price discovery mode, which means that Solana can appreciate really fast to the upside. And that's something that I want to see, right? I want to see Solana close through 260 with authority. Until that happens, we know it's a resistance point. So I am being a little bit cautious around that 250 to 260 level. If we can conquer it with authority, I think there's a huge, huge upside opportunity in Solana. But until we do that, again, I'm just respecting it. We know that on three separate years, three separate swing high occasions, there's been big rejections around that point. So I'm looking at it this time and saying, hey, maybe we do something where we kind of come up here, we reject, we fall down, and then we continue afterwards. Maybe we just go straight up through it and we don't even care. I think the faster we do it, the more convincing it is. But I think either way, Solana has this opportunity to break to new all-time highs. And one convincing factor that I think a lot of people miss is that I know Solana's token price is not hitting new all-time highs right now. However, its market cap is. So when you look at Solana's total market cap, in fact, I'll just pull this up on another chart. Solana's market cap is at all-time highs, but the token price or the token itself actually has inflation and unlocks. And so because of inflation, there's been more tokens getting put into existence. However, as we'll look at right here, the market cap of Solana, and let's even zoom this in, the market cap of Solana is at all-time highs. It hit over 131 billion, and at its previous peak, it was 123 billion. So again, Solana is technically at all-time highs, in terms of market cap, just not in token price because of inflation since the last peak. But Solana still looks good, man. I mean, it's one of my favorites up here.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of comparing it to Ethereum with the narrative, and we still think there's another shoe to drop there with those ETFs kind of getting mass approval for Solana, following in footstep with Ethereum. Could that narrative kind of take hold like we've seen with Ethereum and kind of swap back to Sol? Definitely something we're all watching. A lot of awesome tickers people are putting in. Let's do this, Brennan. Let's do three more, kind of like quick hitter form, and then there's another three that we'll save. Let's do some at the end of the show, because you know we'll just change up some topics and we can always circle back. So Sol was Muddy Oaks. Mrs. Seeley's up next. She wants Brett Brett is the meme coin for base.
Yeah. I haven't tried this one in a little bit. Looking at Brett, I know that I think it was Toshi. I think it was Toshi or Tashi or something like that. Another meme coin on base went crazy the other day. They got a listing and they went just nuts.
Yeah.
But if we look at Brett here, you know, not I would say not as strong as of a chart. We look at this coming down heavily off these highs, you know, still down about almost 80%. So seeing a bit of a harsh fall. And what I don't like here is that we kind of found a nice low over here, rallied up, and again, lost a lot of this valuation, another 65% to the downside, rallied up a little bit higher. You're finding some support, but it's really not going anywhere, right? I always like to say the trend is your friend. And the trend over here has been, hey, it peaked, and ever since it peaked, it bled out 80%, and it's kind of just gone sideways for a long time. So this one, I think, looks a little bit weaker, but the one thing that you can't count out is this addition of the new Coinbase token, or the base token. And so since Brett is on base, you have to think that if this base token comes out and it brings a bunch of activity and volume to the base ecosystem, well, this could be a token that could capitalize on something like that. So I'm not going to boohoo it too much. I will say the chart itself looks a little bit rougher than what I would like, but you do have maybe some of these exciting base catalysts that could potentially give it a boost. So you have some things working for it, but again, it's in a little bit of a tougher spot, and it really hasn't been doing anything as a lot of altcoins have.
Yeah, and we got some more Coinbase news coming up in a little bit in the show. Moving on, Roger. Roger, you said, was a graduate of your program. Again, if you're interested in doing Brendan's program for this type of technical analysis and get more access to him, it's the first link in the description. While we're doing that, just a friendly reminder. Roger was looking at a CFG, Brendan. Centrifuge. That was
CFG.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Centrifuge. Still do like it, but I didn't like how they went off Coinbase. They had to do that transfer on Coinbase wallet, which I think freaked a lot of people out. But what are you looking at here? Some good solid recovery, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, some solid recovery. I mean, we look at this, and this is another one where I like this project. They have to deal with tokenization and RWAs. They had a really strong rally in 2024, but they lost about 90% of the value from that rally, which is a little bit tougher. Now we look at it down here, and the good news is that they've almost fully released their supply, right? So the good news is that they had some decent inflation, which I think caused a lot of the price depreciation that we saw, caused prices to fall down. But a lot of that inflation, in fact, I think almost all of it is out of the way. The last time I looked is, you know, they were almost fully diluted in terms of their supply. And that's a really, really good sign to see, because it's pretty rare that cryptos have that. Almost all cryptos have some sort of inflation model. And when we look at Centrifuge over here, I mean, again, off the April lows, which is generally where I like to measure things for cryptos nowadays, it's up 186% even after this pullback. So we have seen more attention coming back into this token, and we have seen it really struggle against that 200-day moving average ever since the peak, but it looks like it's turning around here. This is the strongest breakout above that 200-day moving average that we have seen since its reversal, and I like this. So as it's coming back down over here, again, a little bit of warning signs. You're seeing an inverse break below the 50 and 20-day moving averages. You're seeing it hook and kind of reject those 20 and 50-day moving averages. Not generally a good sign. You're also getting kind of the death cross happen here with a little bit of rejection. This would lead me to believe that maybe there's a little bit of downside here, but I think the overall reversal is pretty strong. So again, the macro picture of this reversal is pretty strong. Short term, you are getting some kind of bearish signals coming out. Maybe that means that there's a little bit more downside in something like CFG, but that doesn't mean that it can't be a buying opportunity, because you have some pretty big levels as you start getting back down to around 23, 24 cents, and especially around 20 cents where you have that 200-day moving average. So not a horrible big picture, and it's seen a pretty convincing rally since then.
Yeah. All right, we'll do one more, and then we'll move on to some topics, and then we'll wrap up at the end of the show with some more Q&A. Let's do the Crypto 101 favorite, XRP. I had a dinner last night, Brent. Everybody was asking about Crypto 101. A couple of my friends told everybody about the podcast. They're asking, you know, what to buy. And just everybody at the table was just like, what do you think about XRP? Just the classic, you know, just that classic project that just everybody's in.
What did you tell them, Tivo?
You know,
what did you tell him?
I told him this. I'll tell you the Crypto 101 loves the XRP army. We love the XRP army so much that I don't know what to do with myself, how much love I have for these guys. As I said, you know, full transparency, not a holder. We can't give personal financial advice anyway, but just love. I love the movement of the people more than the project, to be quite honest. But Boz, our friend Boz in the chat, was asking about XRP. So what are you seeing here?
Yeah, you know, XRP is fascinating. This was one of the strongest runners leading into this year, so last year. And it was one of the strongest runners of this year up until about the summer point. So when we zoom out and we look at this, again, the chart speaks for itself. It ran up, hit new all-time highs, came down into a nice trough, had a beautiful support basin at $2, had about a dozen different buying opportunities. And we kind of brings us into the more modern day of this summer where we came up, we hit the new all-time highs, and then this event happened. And for people who weren't aware, again, I own XRP. I've been trading this thing. You know, I don't always agree with everything that's a part of the project. I usually tell it how it is. And so sometimes the XRP army, they love me. And then sometimes people don't like me, but I like to look at both sides of what's happening. And around here, there was a lot of insider selling from their executive team again. I mean, Chris Larson was selling off, you know, just I think it was hundreds of millions of dollars of XRP again. And it was a little bit of a scandal because he's done this before and got in trouble for it before. And this time around, he was doing it onto the holders. It was onto like normal brokerages and normal exchanges. And he was just market smashing sell orders for millions and millions of dollars onto the holders through just normal exchanges. And people didn't like this. I mean, clearly people, the holders, were kind of upset that this was happening yet again after it's happened a lot in the past. And so it faded off here. And prices had a hard time recovering since there was that insider selling event and a bit of frustration that kind of accompanied that. But it looks like it's recovering here. I think it's found a really nice bottom around $2.70, $2.75, right around here. And we found a really nice bottom around here. And I was nervous that this could turn into a descending triangle, but we're starting to see, again, structure break to the upside, which I think is a really good sign. So nice kind of base down here around $2.75, clear support. And now it's breaking back above the 20, back above the 50, breaking through this downwards trend line and finding some good support around $3. It's a pretty decent size support zone now. So what we're seeing is this kind of prior resistance line turn into support. And I think that there's some good stuff happening on the XRP chart now. I mean, it's looking like it wants to break out. And I'll be the first one to say, you know, despite what I tend to think about some of the fundamentals of XRP, the chart itself looks good. And I think they have good catalysts as well. I think you look at the catalyst here being the XRP ETF, that has a 95% chance of approval by the end of this year, according to the Bloomberg Intelligence analysts, who are like the premier analysts when it comes to these things. Someone who we've had on the show with Eric Balchunas and James Seyfarth. They put it at a 95% chance of approval. I would agree with that. I think it's a matter of time until it gets approved. And you have pretty strong technicals outside of that one insider selling event, one of the strongest technicals outside of that event. And now the technicals are resuming to the upside and looking a little bit stronger again. I think once you get that catalyst to come forward, which is that ETF approval, the spot ETF approval, I think this thing can go. I think it can see new all-time highs. So I wouldn't count out the idea of seeing a $4 XRP. I know people like their big price predictions of $10, $100, $1,000. You know, I'm not going to get into that, but I think it's very possible that we see XRP hit new all-time highs, and that's something that could happen before the end of this year. So again, chopping around, I'm sure they're still kind of figuring out some of the mess that it was coming out of, but I'm not opposed to this chart. I have exposure, and this is something that I'm personally playing and saying I think it can go higher than $3. I think $3 is a half decent area down here.
Awesome, man. Yeah, shout out to the XRP Army. They're going to love to hear that. Let's put a pin in the technical analysis. Again, guys, if you're enjoying this, stay tuned. Again, give us a like. If you're new here, bottom right, hit our logo, hit subscribe, and like the video. It really helps us grow. And if you enjoyed that, stay tuned. We got some news to break down, and we'll come back to the charts. But again, if you want to try to learn and master technical analysis, and if kind of doing that charting live with Brendan, where you can send in requests and talk to him and kind of do it together with him while you're learning, in the description, I put the link. It's Brendan's 6-week program. Again, if it's something you're interested in, please check it out. But if not, Brendan's going to be on the show all the time. We're going to be keep having a lot of fun. But if kind of growing your education around this topic is something you're interested in, definitely check out that link below.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
But just continuing on the momentum of all these charts, we're going to pull up the Fear Greed Index real quick. We haven't checked it out in a couple weeks. My favorite thing kind of about this, having these two side by side, kind of like what you were talking about with the Total 2 and kind of Bitcoin dominance, we're starting to see that. You know, hey, altcoin season is right on the tip there, 74. It's tipping over. And then you go over to Fear Greed, and it's like smack dab in the middle at 50. And so, like, you know, when you think about it, the altcoin season index, the altcoins won it. They're ready. They're ready to roll. But that Fear Greed index is teetering. And so, I mean, again, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. And a lot of it is tied to kind of the macro and the Fed, and we're riding that wave. We definitely are kind of leaning, you know, we're always bullish like perma bulls, but it feels like the runway is set up for the end of the year here. But also, Brendan, I'm starting to kind of feel like it's that everybody could be on one side of the boat. So whenever that's happened, you got to stay vigilant. You got to stay, you know, keep educating. And that's why we do these shows multiple times a week, because things change and happen fast. So you're in the right place. Yeah. But with that said, if kind of history repeats itself, and it doesn't always repeat, but a lot of the time it rhymes, October's coming, Brendan, and I know we're super excited about it. Next Friday, 1 week from today, we have the Prepare for October live stream. It's going to be me. It's going to be you. I'm hearing rumors that Bryce is going to be there. Joe's going to be there. Brian McNutt's going to be there. Possibly a Rohit sighting. Is Rohit going to come out and give us some end-of-year gems? That's next Friday, same time, the October live stream. Guys,
he's legendary.
Yes, legendary. Our team gets really, really excited for October because, as you can kind of see here, and I'm sharing it, you know, historically, this is for Bitcoin, October is the greenest month in history for Bitcoin. And a lot of times it follows that. Again, it's not the same thing every year. It's more of a repeats. It rhymes. But in prep being prepared for October is something that we've been excited for many years. And as you can see here, many years in a row, we've been correct. So how are you preparing for October, Brendan? And how excited are you?
Dude, I'm pretty freaking stoked. I mean, we have not seen a red October since 2018, which was one bloody year for the crypto market. And it was only red 3.8%. We've only seen two red Octobers basically since 2013, since this chart started. And so when you look back at all the data, again, this is the best or one of the best performing months. If you look at the average return rate, you have November, which is actually the best, and then you have October, which is the second best, but it's coming off of what I call sucky September, which is usually really bad. And I know in the TradFi markets, the last 10 days of September are historically one of, if not, the worst 10-day stretch of the entire year. And that's the final part of September. So I think we just get through September, we get out of this month that's historically a really red one, and we push ourselves into October, November, which are two of the best performing months for crypto. We get a little bit of a Santa Claus rally at the end of the year, and I think everyone escapes happy. So, I mean, I'm pretty stoked for it, man. I mean, if history repeats itself like this tweet says, October's average return is 21.9%. If it repeats itself, that puts Bitcoin at 141K. If we add in another 100, or we add in another 46% to that in November, that historical return, that puts us again above 150, 160, 170K. And then we start getting into our end of year price predictions, Tivo, which yeah. I know me, you, and Bryce gave at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And if this holds true, it's going to be neck and neck, probably between me and you, because I think Bryce's prediction was like 500,000.
But hey, can't blame the Bulls. Hey, who knows? Maybe we're one big Bitcoin strategic reserve purchase away from Bryce being correct.
You're right.
Yeah, but again, kind of looking at the runway looks clear. We're going to be getting all the macro data, the CPI, the PPI. We already did this clearing jobs data that we've talked about. Like, this jobs revision was wild. And at first, everybody's like, oh, wait, the economy's in peril. And actually, the biggest spin zone on it is, maybe the economy's stronger than we think if we're not adding any jobs over the last year and we still have this growth and this AI and CapEx and efficiency is coming down the line. Rate cuts, liquidity, I mean, the bull case is there. And we talked about it before. Yeah. We won't dive into it too much, but like the debate on are we late cycle or early cycle, man, it's a fun debate. It is a fun debate to have. October's here. We are going to be obviously covering it wire for wire. And why are we so bullish? Why do we think this cycle is extending? It's everything from price action to rate cuts. But the number one thing that we cover week to week on this show, besides the price action, is the regulation. And that's because on day one, we went in and we fired Gary Gensler. This guy was literally single-handedly holding this industry back for years. And he went, and to think, like, I mean, dude, we've ranted on this so many times, but it has to be said again, how he held this industry back all while in bed with Sam Bankman-Fried during the FTX run of FTX. You know, Sam was on Capitol Hill doing meetings with congressmen, meeting with Gary Gensler, having lunch in his office. And then it blows up and Sam Bankman-Fried goes to jail and everybody forgets about it and just tries to shut down the whole industry. It was crazy. I mean, this guy made an appearance. We're going to play this appearance in a second, like you said, on CNBC. But after his appearance, like, he's been hiding, and rightfully so, because he's a joke. I mean, dude, he went and burned all these documents. Everybody's like, save, don't burn anything, don't destroy anything. It's starting to come out that, like, all these things that congressmen and senators wanted to go through to kind of look at Operation Choke Point, he went and deleted all this crap, him and his freaking people. Like, you could make the case, and I tweeted this on, it was like a Gemini tweet from one of the Winklevoss twins. I was like, I don't say this lightly. I really don't. I don't say this lightly. Gary Gensler might deserve to be in prison. Depending on what comes to light, like, this guy might literally deserve to do a little prison time because of how his pockets were padded and the decisions he made. Like, man, this guy, and he's coming out of his hole because he's becoming irrelevant and he sees how much momentum the crypto market has. And so he's popping his head out of his little hole, trying to make some noise because you know, I know he's a professor now and he'll be fine, I'm sure, getting gigs, but like nobody wants to pay for his speeches. These banks, nobody wants to pay his like $100,000 fee for him to come and speak and rally the troops. I mean, the guy's a joke. The guy's a joke.
Yeah. I think the clip speaks for itself. I mean, this is like one of his first public appearances. They bring him on CNBC and just watch and you'll formulate your own opinion.
They are reversing a lot of what you did. And how are you feeling about what they're doing now?
So I'm very proud of what we accomplished.
And the crypto community is ecstatic not to have you there anymore and to have him there. Looking back on it, I mean, do you think that was the right call?
Yes, I think.
Because look, now we have this like burgeoning industry and there's so much more innovation and leadership in the U.S.
And a lot more capital coming into it.
There may be more capital in terms of the interest in the public. The public is interested. I get that. But for investors.
You think this is dangerous, what they're doing?
Put aside Bitcoin. But most of the other tokens are not tied to any fundamentals. Like Warren Buffett would say, what are the goods? What are the revenues? What are they selling? And so forth.
Yeah, but just tell us about your lunch with like Sam Bankman-Fried and what you're doing in the office. Like that guy was getting cooked on live television. Like I no wonder he hasn't made a ton of public appearances. And he goes to CNBC because, you know, just out of respect for The Office when he would go on that channel. They definitely peppered him a little bit back when he was SEC chair. But now, like, because you don't have the shield of the respect for The Office, Sarah Eisen just went in like a shark. That was chum in the waters. They were going for the kill. If anything, that clip, I saw the live thing and just it was worse than that. That clip actually was pretty friendly because they made some cuts to keep the dead air. I mean, he was like Bambi. That was a baby deer out there. His legs didn't have the strength. He looked like a baby deer on an ice rink. He was skating all over the place. I mean, the guy's a joke. It is really wild to see how hard him and the SEC held it back. And then again, that Operation Choke Point hurt a lot of people, hurt a lot of companies, hurt the innovation. And then under his leadership, not only did we not have any progress forward and you're holding people back, one of the biggest frauds of all time, FTX, happened while you're getting lunch with them in your office. It's like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That was probably the more friendly part of that. But even then, they were like, everyone's celebrating that you're out of here. How do you feel about that? And he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, the other thing that he said was, show me the revenue. Show me this and that. None of these projects outside of Bitcoin have revenue. When it's the opposite, Bitcoin doesn't have any revenue. It does have a huge purpose, but it doesn't have revenue. And then here, I pulled this up because it kind of infuriated me that he says these things and then he gets away with it. And I don't know why they didn't call him out for this, but let's go through this. In the last 30 days, these are all going to be 30-day readings. In the last 30 days, Tether, $644 million in revenue. Circle, $222 million in fees. Uniswap, $137 million. Pump, we all know Pump.Fun, $118 million. Jupiter, $100 million. Hyperliquid, another almost $100 million. Aave, $95 million. Now, I mean, the list goes on. Athena, $67 million. Lido, $92 million. Sky or MakerDAO in the last month, almost $37 million. Jito was $44 million. You have all these projects doing millions or hundreds of millions of dollars a month, let alone billions in a year. And I don't know where he gets this info from. I mean, we're not even looking at how much the networks like Solana and Ethereum and these layer ones are generating. We're just saying, what about the applications that are built on top of them? And they're, again, in the tens or hundreds of millions a month. So, I mean, you can just tell he's so misled. I mean, it's so ridiculous that you can say this, and I wish they would call him out, but again, he's not here anymore. We don't got to worry about him. We got Paul Atkins. He's saying crypto's time is here, and yep, it's crypto's time to shine. But I mean, it's crazy how far, and the thing is, it's only been a year, TiVo. It's only been a year, and there's been such a monumental amount of progress. I know people always want instant gratification. They want it to happen faster. I understand, but we've come a long way in just a year, and I think the next 3 years can hopefully be pretty constructive as well.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to end the segment is just with the clip that started it all. So we'll play that as we move on. Whoa. And so with
we haven't played that in a while.
Oh man, it's just literally one of the best. And that does, that clears the runway for progress, right? And this week there were a lot of our big figureheads in the industry getting together. Again, we have Michael Saylor and Tom Lee together. We'll get that in a little bit. But Brian Armstrong was down in DC, and Coinbase is making a lot of noise the last couple weeks. And so this was Brian live from D.C., so I thought it would be interesting for everybody to check in again from day one firing Gary Gensler and that joke of an SEC chair to where we are today is kind of leading the runway for what we're going to talk about next. It's because the regulation keeps moving forward.
They are reversing a lot of what you did. And how are you feeling about what they're doing now?
So I'm very proud of what we accomplished.
And the crypto community is ecstatic not to have you there anymore and to have him there. Looking back on it, I mean, do you think that was the right call?
Yes, I think.
Because look, now we have this like burgeoning industry and there's so much more innovation and leadership in the U.S.
And a lot more capital coming into it.
There may be more capital in terms of the interest in the public. The public is interested. I get that. But for investors.
You think this is dangerous, what they're doing?
Put aside Bitcoin. But most of the other tokens are not tied to any fundamentals. Like Warren Buffett would say, what are the goods? What are the revenues? What are they selling? And so forth.
So is there a coincidence that he's down in D.C. this week and makes that video and he's working hard clearly? Do you think that there's a coincidence between him doing that and then Coinbase posting this yesterday with there's a new way to grow your bags, lender USDC, earn up to 10.8% DeFi lending is rolling out on Coinbase. Do you think there's any coincidence there, Brendan?
I don't think so. I mean, clearly we know that there's all sorts of new things happening. And now all of a sudden we get this about lending. We start seeing all these different groups wanting to get involved with debit cards and credit cards and banking. And now we're getting new messages that different forms of leverage are going to be allowed in the United States again. I don't think it's a coincidence that all these things are happening. And then on top of this, as we're going to talk about, they come out and they were like, yeah, we're not ever really looking into a token for the Base ecosystem. And now they come out and they say this. I mean, clearly something's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of movement going on. Kind of switching gears to more regulation and passing. This was really interesting that the Grayscale's digital large cap fund looked like it was going to begin trading today. A combination of Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Solana, and ADA. Again, just kind of the tip of the iceberg of this first, large cap fund, blue chip fund, whatever you want to call it. It's basically forecasting into the future of what we've been saying on this podcast for the last couple weeks, maybe to a month. It's like if you're looking at the data and you continuously to just look at not even the data, I guess, but it's the reports. It's the mass approvals inbound. This was a tweet from earlier this week, but we've talked about this on the pod, like I think every week for the last about 3 weeks, is there's all these little breadcrumbs. It was the non-approvals. They were kind of batching all these applications together. And we kind of like, oh, this is kind of actually a good thing. Even though they're not passing them, they're batching them together and looking for a mass approval. Now you're looking for these batched together ETFs. And basically it leads us to our friends over at Bloomberg being like, what did we create here? What is possibly on the horizon? Because now there's all these applications for 2X altcoin season crypto ETFs. Literally, they're calling them the 2X alt season. And it's culturally appropriate for crypto. But again, these type of applications with this type of leverage is just pure degen. And it's kind of like when we talk about on these finance channels, and they try to steer clear everybody from the triple leverage NASDAQ or the 2X Tesla. Like these things they're dangerous products. There's a lot of leverage in them if you don't know what you're doing or how to trade them. But the fact that they're now, not only can you do it for these blue chip S&P 500 Mag 7 companies or even the NASDAQ as a whole, we're creating leverage products for crypto projects that we're going to trade on the on the stock market here, and it's almost silly season. Like when we talk about, oh, like eventually when altcoin season comes, don't get caught up in the craziness of it. Like this, again, it's not live and it's not happening yet, but these are the type of products that could be a good gauge for like, all right, it's getting a little out of control here.
Yeah, I mean, if you go down and you look at the banter between Eric and James, who are two of the lead Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analysts, you scroll down a little bit here, TiVo. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. And yeah, I mean, they're like, I'm going to be honest, I didn't even know what a 2X alt season was, and then we have a 2X alt season, and they're going back and forth. What's an alt versus an alt season? And you just have this funny banter. And they have it written on the screen here, actually, if you click on that picture that's in the center.
This one?
They go and they explain the difference between these, yeah. And so there's three different products that were listed. Is you had a crypto exposure ETF, crypto market cap exposure, an altcoin exposure, and then an alt season exposure. And an alt season is referring to the low market cap picks. So they're getting 2x leveraged versions of crypto exposure, 2x leveraged version of altcoin exposure, and then 2x leveraged versions of low market cap altcoin exposure, which we all know, like mid to low market cap cryptocurrencies are like the most volatile products in all of the equities markets and everything. And now we're giving those 2x long exposure, which is a bit crazy. And so it kind of like begs the question, like, what have we created? What are we giving retail traders access to by multiplying all the existing volatility by two after what we've already seen? So the thing is, you know, these are not spot ETFs. That's one thing I wanted to clarify, is that these are not spot ETFs, which is probably for the best. But, you know, I mean, again, there's demand for this stuff. I think it's pretty cool and something to kind of consider. So you're going to be getting crypto market cap ETFs, altcoin season ETFs, and now you're going to be getting these quote-unquote alt ETFs for mid to low market cap picks. So yeah, all these are going to have 2x volatility. I got to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to trade any of these, but...
You say that now.
I say that now. Ask me again at the peak of the cycle. The day I say I'm degenning these is the peak of the cycle.
Yeah. Something to stay apprised on. You know we're going to cover it. But yeah, this kind of scares me a little bit. Me and you love leverage. We play in these pools. But yeah, man, you could, if you don't know what you're doing, and I think that's kind of our mission, right, as Crypto 101, and educate and create our community. It's like for the average people that aren't doing the education in – opening up a Coinbase or a Kraken, Gemini, Robinhood, and learning how to buy a spot, even just through that, that's the most simple thing. And then, you know, the next step is getting, you know, the hot cold wallets and doing that more DeFi and trading through the DEXs. You know, that's another level. But giving them exposure to some of these low caps on a 2X just for a couple clicks, it's like you're not really going through the process of learning. This is very casino type energy. And there's a place for that for sure, but just be careful out there and definitely stick to Crypto 101 to stay educated and learn where these things are going to be trading. And again, this is just kind of the official process of the application, but this is big casino energy here. Speaking of just big energy in general, I was keeping in tune to this. These two going to an event together was really exciting for me. And I kind of had a nice little tweet here. I was like, you know, when you grow up and you learn the Avengers aren't real and Santa Claus doesn't bring presents and the Tooth Fairy isn't magical. But today, we had today as adults, we had two real life heroes get together that are trying to take us to the moon. And again, there's everybody's always pitting out, oh, I'm a Bitcoin maxi, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Ethereum. You know, they're fighting each other. Tom Lee's abandoned Bitcoin because he's always been a big Bitcoin bull. I thought this was really awesome to see them together. I also know that Dan Ives, who we talked about for WorldCoin, was also at this event. And I'm trying to get somebody who was at this event on the podcast. I'm working on it. It would be awesome to hear from them, to, you know, hear what they discussed and the ideas that were talked about. But even though these kind of two are on different paths for an Ethereum treasury versus the Bitcoin treasury, I thought it's really cool to see them all together in a small kind of not. Again, this wasn't a big press event. These kind of pictures, I don't say they were leaked. I don't think it was like a secret event by any means, but it wasn't some big press conference and giving speeches in front of, you know, a conference and all that stuff. You know, we see those clips all the time. This was a specific smaller group, a working group that's planning the future of the regulations and where they want this industry to go. And so I was pretty excited to see that and to see these two together.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about essentially the leader of the Bitcoin treasuries and then the leader of the Ethereum treasuries, and two just forces to be reckoned with. And they have a big respect for one another, which you can appreciate, right? You know, I think they both understand that there are other valuable assets out there. I think Saylor secretly does acknowledge Ethereum as very useful in having a case. And Tom Lee clearly likes both Bitcoin and Ethereum, but they have narratives. You know, Michael Saylor believes Bitcoin is like the biggest opportunity moving forward. Tom Lee believes that there's probably more opportunity and upside in Ethereum. You know, we kind of come in the middle here and we say, why choose one or the other? I think both can benefit from this. And like both are going to be successful. I think there's a world where Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, a handful of cryptos are all going to be working along side by side.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I had a cool clip of Saylor, but we're already at the hour here, and I want to dive into some more. We left some people on the burner with some questions. So I have a cool clip of Saylor explaining how he creates his financial products. A little teaser for next week. Again, that's not time sensitive. We'll bring that to you next week. We had some people, Brendan, if you want to pull up the charts, we have a couple more. We appreciate you guys being us with the hour here, being with us for the full hour. We're going to jump back into some technical analysis because today is our technical analysis episode with Brendan. Please give us a like. If you've been with us the whole entire hour or if you're new, click that like button. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us grow. Subscribe to this channel for more awesome episodes. And we're going to finish up with some TA. Remember, if you're interested in being in Brendan's TA course, check the link below. It's the first link. I put it there for you. Again, if you want to learn the charts and then do live trading with Brendan like this twice a week, check that link for more information. But more on the request. We had Jack. Our friend Jack is looking for OP. A little quick hitter on OP, Brendan.
Yeah, you know, optimism is one that hasn't been doing too well. We were talking, I think we were going to talk a little bit more about Base and their new token. We talked about it on Tuesday. Listen, I think Base has stolen the show when it comes to layer twos. Base has just dominated the layer two space, and I think that's where the majority of attention is now. Now, optimism is still here, but again, you zoom out, and the chart's gnarly, man. The chart's really gnarly. This thing was at $5. It's now still down 84% from its highs. Really no convincing signs of recovery so far. I think they have a good product and service and stuff, but you know, when it comes to the chart itself, it isn't looking good. You know, not anything convincing since April. They've fallen to lower lows since their April bottom, and they're only up about 48%. And they've just been kind of going sideways and barcoding for a while. So not too fond of this chart, and I'd be looking elsewhere personally.
Let's go to Jason. I know this was one me and you liked, and then we kind of faded away from it kind of more in the recent year. IMX?
Yeah. IMX is a similar boat where gaming itself has been a sector that has been hit really, really hard. People realize that the end product was farther away from being finished than people anticipated a couple of years ago. And so with kind of that date being pushed out, gaming was kind of pushed to the back burner. People saw a lot more exciting and essentially just people saw more success and stuff happening in a lot of different sectors like DeFi, like AI, like stable coins and tokenization and all these different areas. And they started to get the most attention and gaming kind of faded out. Now, IMX is breaking out here. It's a really strong, clean breakout. And this is a good thing to see. I know that they've had some big announcements here about their mobile gaming side of things. But this is a pretty convincing rally. About a 100% move to the upside in the last 2.5 weeks, which I like to see. It's back above the 200-day moving average, which we have seen before. So it's not going to cause me to get my hopes up, because we've kind of seen it rally above here before and then fall, and then rally above here before and then fall. And now we're doing again. So I'm not going to completely get my hopes up with IMX. This is one of those projects that, again, it has struggled. It's on the weaker side. I like this reversal. It looks strong. Just my fear here is that it could lose all of this, like it has the past couple of rallies. So you're definitely playing into a name that has historically been weaker over the last year or two, and the trend has not been its friend. I hope that this can be a sign of reversal for it and a point of reversal, because IMX was always one of my favorite projects when it came to gaming. I think that they were one of the groups that did it the best. It was just, and it wasn't really a matter of IMX failing. It was a matter of just attention going elsewhere. So still probably when it comes to the gaming space, probably still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But you just have to understand it's weaker.
Yeah, it's part of the narrative game, right? Let's do Toshi. Can we throw up Toshi? That's for James.
Yeah, this one was crushing it here. So it's coming back down. They had a coin listing on another exchange, and this caused them to pump over 100%. It is coming back down. Now, the thing about exchange listings is that they're typically these short-term opportunities, and I don't tend to use them as long-term catalysts. So when this pumped up about 100%, I would have been probably looking at some profit taking. As it's coming back down, I think in a best case scenario, you kind of want to see it use the ceiling of this range as support. So I really don't want to see this fall too much below 7.5. What is that? You know, that is like 0.007, 0.0075 or whatever that is. But I really don't want to see it come too much below here. You kind of want to see the top half of this previous consolidation zone used as support. So you kind of want to see the top half of this act as support, and you want to see it bounce over here. So far, it's a pretty nasty and aggressive selling opportunity. It peaked out on Wednesday, sold off all of Thursday. It sold off all of Friday so far, and there's no signs of a bounce. So yeah, again, a little bit rough, but it kind of goes back to the original thought of like, the large caps are seeing a lot of the benefit here. And the whole crypto market's red on the day today as we're kind of coming back to the downside a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. Again, this is another one where I'd say, hey, you know, it just had a big news catalyst from these listings. I'd want to give it a little bit of space, and I don't want to catch a knife. I like to play support.
Couldn't agree more. Last crypto one is going to be Sui. Josh, our friend Josh, is looking at SUI.
Okay, so this is one that I actually really, really like the chart on. When we look at Sui here, was coming off of a really strong rally, as we could see, hit the peak, came back in, and found a really nice base back in April. And so ever since then, we've seen it kind of climbing up over here over 100%. And we've kind of hit the same high around $4 and, what was this, 20 cents? Come down to a higher low, came back up to the same point, came back down to a higher low, and we're rallying off of this. And you already know what I'm going to say, is that this looks like an ascending triangle in here. And so I like the fact that we're making higher lows into a flat level of resistance. It has conquered this 200-day moving average. Very clean bounce here. Another very clean bounce here. I think as this comes down into any of the moving averages down here towards the lower half of $3, I still kind of look at this thing as an opportunity. The big resistance is around $4.20 to $4.30. If it breaks through that, I think $5.30 is kind of the big resistance point that it has to look forward to. But I like this thing. You know, this is something that I've actually been getting exposure to towards the lower end of $3 and building exposure, because I think it has some room to the upside once you get some of these mid caps running a bit more. So I think this is one that's worth keeping an eye on.
All right.
I know I am.
All right. We got three more. I'm cutting it off. No more requests. No more requests for Brendan. We have to do Ryan, our guy Ryan, literally the number one commenter on the entire channel. He threw in Doge, the dog. Pull up the dog on a Friday.
The Dogecoin, they just had an ETF approval. Now, it is not a spot ETF approval. There's a difference here. But Dogecoin did have an ETF approval, and so they're going to be getting a listing. This caused the token to go through the roof over here. We saw it kind of just destroy this zone to the upside. And it's been going. I mean, look, we actually already had the resistance point plotted out. So by doing some technical analysis here, I was plotting the prior highs together. And that brought us very, very well to where we topped out at on Saturday. So we hit this point again. We're coming back down in here. I'd like to start to see this find some support. You have a little bit around 26 cents. But you have the big support once you get closer to 23 to 24 cents down in here. So I wouldn't be surprised again if this sees a little bit more downside, but I can't argue against this chart too much. I mean, you look at it since April, it's hit kind of the low point, and then you have the high. Then a higher low, higher high, higher low, higher high. And it's in a nice little trend here. So I can't hate this too much, but the way that I would want to play it is just say, hey, we know it kind of comes from the lows to the highs. I would want to play it like this. And that would unfortunately mean that there's the potential for a little bit more downside before another longing opportunity, but not a bad looking chart.
And a little teaser there, got Brian and Joe coming on with me on Tuesday, and then again, we're going to do the team episode next Friday, but since Brendan's giving us so much extra time today, we're going to give him a break, I believe, next week, unless there's some crazy breaking news that I need you for. But we're putting in the overtime for you today. Alex, our friend Alex, is asking for Radium. Radium. Haven't talked about Radium in a while.
We haven't, but you know, kind of similar story. This one over here is a really big trend line. If we go back to its initial breakout towards the start of this year, I mean, man, it was bouncing off $4 time and time and time and time again, all in here. Well, we broke below this, rejected it in May, came back down, rejected it again over here in August, rejected it again towards September, and we've had a hard time with this. I mean, it's a huge support zone that's turned into resistance. And so far, that resistance zone is holding. So I'd say for anyone that's interested in Radium, watch the $4 level, because that's a pretty important point. Now, it's also at a little bit of a support zone here. We've kind of seen it climbing this smaller support line around the 50-day moving average. It seems as if it's going to break a little bit of structure here. So if structure does crack to the downside, you could probably see this retrace back to around $2.60. So that could be another thing to keep an eye out on. You get a little bit of descending triangle action here where you have these falling levels of support into a flat level of, or falling levels of resistance into a flat area of support, and a little bit of pressure that's building towards the downside. So I'd say just kind of be careful a little bit with that one, but pretty convincing rallies off the low here, TiVo, you know, up over 130%, could be due for a little bit of a pullback, but could definitely have a buying opportunity out of something like that.
Awesome. Well, Alex was throwing that in the chat nonstop. Alex, hope you enjoyed that. Please like and subscribe. First time I'm seeing you in the channel, so hopefully we'll see you again. And then last one, truly the last one, Brendan. It's from your personal friend over here, Mr. TiVo. I need to see Bitmine. I need to see Tom Lee's Bitmine. What are we doing? Are we giving a nice base? Are we looking for, are we following kind of the, I know it's a newer ticker, so we don't have too much history per se, but did we find our bottom there after that big rip and then a bigger dip and then a nice little recovery there? Are we getting excited for the ETH play?
I think it is, man. I've seen a lot of people get excited about this. Listen, I also am a fan of Tom Lee, if everyone doesn't know by all the times we reference him. I look up to the guy. I think it's, if there's anyone that I believe in that can make a treasury successful, it's him. So I like this. I mean, and you look at it, clearly it had this big, exciting rally when this all got announced. But then it came back down to a more normal price around 30, and it rallied up. And now we're starting to see higher lows. So I like this. I think so long as Bitmine holds this idea of rally, higher low, rally, higher low, I think it's in a decent spot. So it's going to be volatile. We know that treasuries tend to always be more volatile versions of the underlying assets that they support. So I don't expect that to go away. But, I mean, for full transparency, I mean, I have exposure. I think you do as well. I think we probably both have exposure to Bitmine. And I have been looking to accumulate BitMine on dips just for my own personal portfolio and get a little bit of exposure to it. So, I mean, yeah. I'm liking the chart so far. Again, higher lows off of a point like this is a good thing to see.
Not personal financial advice for anybody, just a couple friends talking crypto and apparently stocks and treasury companies. But I said this in our chat one day. We were talking about it with the team, and I was like, listen, there's all these clips, and we've played the clip of Tom Lee, you know, what was it, 12, 13 years ago, whatever it was. And he was just saying, you know, 1% exposure to Bitcoin is probably not a bad idea. And it was like $3,000 a Bitcoin. And he got ridiculed on the desk, live on TV, ridiculed and said, hey, you're putting investors in a bad position. This is terrible advice. You should be ashamed of yourself. And, you know, now look where we are and how right he was. And so I was kind of telling you guys, I was like, listen, you know, I'm trying to do the best research I can. And, you know, obviously the Ethereum research leads into BitMine research and the treasury company research. But there's kind of a play here where I don't want to be 10 years from now looking back at all this stuff that we covered nonstop on this podcast of Tom Lee launching a treasury company and it absolutely going to the moon. And I wasn't involved. I can live with the downside risk. You know, again, it's not, yeah. you got to diversify and you can't have all your eggs in one basket, but I can live with the downside risk of this play because I won't be able to live with myself if 10 years from now, this thing goes to the moon. And I'm like, damn, me and Brendan covered this for 6 months, a year before it caught on and I didn't get involved. So super excited to just kind of do this with you. And I think it's really fun to dive into all this stuff with you, with the other team, with the community here on YouTube. Ryan gave us a super chat, a $10 super chat, man. Ryan, we really appreciate you. You know that. And everybody else that's been here tossing likes and subscribes, we really do appreciate it. And if you enjoyed that technical analysis session, it's the last time I'll mention it. There's a link below. If you want to get access to Brendan's course, again, it's 6 weeks plus live trading with him 2 times a week, basically what we just did. If you want more of that, check out that link below. Brendan, any final thoughts? I'll close it up because you led the team today. You carried us on your back, but want to give you any final thoughts, and then I'll wrap it up for you.
Dude, nothing too crazy. It's just that, listen, a lot's going on. The one thing that we say is like, hey, again, we're very excited about the long term here. I don't want people to be too focused on what happens right now, what happens today, what happens tomorrow. We have that saying of when in doubt, zoom out. And we're going to see volatility in the crypto market. That's a natural part of this thing. It's not going to go away. But the way that I view this is, again, I'm looking at these big dips as buying opportunities. And I think clearly the fundamentals align with the technicals here. We're seeing all sorts of good news. And we're entering into what is the two best months of the crypto market. And so I think it's hard to not be a little bit excited and optimistic about this. Obviously, fact check everything we say. We put it on the screen and stuff, but do your own research. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the more research that everyone does individually, the better of an understanding that you're going to have and probably the more excited that you're going to get. So lots of good stuff out there. Pretty stoked to do it. And hopefully the best is yet to come.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you, everybody, for spending your Friday afternoon with us. Last call, if you haven't done it yet, excuse me, hit the like, subscribe. Next week, we'll see what the news flow is. You know, we'll sometimes do 3 episodes, sometimes we'll do 2, but I can say that we are doing a prepare for October 1 week from today, Friday afternoon. We're going to try and get, hopefully, the whole team together. Obviously, some schedules might change, so I can't promise you that everybody will be here, but as of now, that is what I'm aiming for next Friday, the entire Crypto 101 team top to bottom. And then we need a little meme coin update. Brian and Joe have been cooking, man. They've been absolutely cooking over there, and everybody's enjoyed those episodes. So we're going to do one of those on Tuesday. I'll put the schedule out in our community. Other than that, guys, we really appreciate you, everybody, spending their Friday afternoon with us. What a week it was with the Fed. The runway's clear. We're heading into the fall. We're heading into October. We're looking to end the year pretty bullish, and you're in the right place listening to the Crypto 101 podcast. We really appreciate your time, and we hope you enjoy your weekend, and we're going to see everybody next week. Bye, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.